certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate, official journal for the State of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals as evidence that track numbers 44802 through 44808 have been advertised in accordance with and under the provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950, as amended. There are no letters of protest for today's lease sale. There are no tracts recommended for withdrawal from today's lease sale. We will now proceed with the opening of bids.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We received one bid for track 44802, advertised as 2,499 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 216.826 acres. 216.826 acres. The bidder is Marquis Resources, LLC. Marquis Resources, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $59,843.98. $59,843.98, or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $29,921.99. $29,921.99. Royalties are 23%. As additional consideration, the water bottoms covered by this bid are all of the state-owned water bottoms within the EEPCC2RA-SUA unit Leeville Field. The bidder is the operator of the unit well, the EEPCC2RA-SUA State Lease 20783 number 2, which ceased production on November 6, 2015 due to collapsed tubing, and which, despite several attempts, the bidder has been unable to get back on production. The bidder has elected to submit this nomination and bid in lieu of requesting an operating agreement, which was discussed with OMR staff at a meeting on August 23, 2017. We did not receive any bids on track 44083. We did receive one bid on track 44804, advertised as 2,211 acres. The bid is for bid form says is for the entire acreage, but the acreage bid is 98.3 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $22,117.50. $22,117.50. Or a per acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $11,058.75. $11,058.75. Royalties are 21%. We did not receive any bids. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44805. We did receive one bid on track 44806, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Orbit Energy, Inc. Orbit Energy, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $150. $150, or a per acre value of $150. Annual rentals are $150. $150. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 44807. Advertises 1.05 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Rovig Minerals, Inc. Rovig Minerals, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $184.80. $184.80, or a per acre value of $176. Annual rentals are $92.40. $92.40. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 44808, advertised as 24 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bid form says 14 acres. The bidder is Lola LLC. Lola LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,080. $3,080, or a per acre value of $220. Annual rentals are $1,540. $1,540. Royalties are 21%. That will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
How I operate. I don't have my phone when it's upstairs. If somebody wants, if y'all have his number and want to, because he may have sent me something saying, hey, I'm 5 minutes out or something. But.
What have you been doing, Ron? How's your cemetery project?
Suzanne. Paul said he was coming. Paul responded.
I just sent him a text.
Okay. He did.
Any of that information I sent you of any value? Of?
Yeah, I think it's going to be helpful. I mean, right now I'm just desperately trying to get my hands
on it.
Yeah. I think I've gleaned through it, and there was some stuff about, you know, unidentified graves and stuff like that, and I'm sure that's a big problem.
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the...
We'll let Paul make his grand entrance.
Did the first...
Good.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I've come across the... I see my brother today for lunch, and his, of course, my cousins, my mother's first cousins, were the... They had all that research, and they spent an inordinate amount of time doing genealogy, going to cemeteries all over Louisiana and Mississippi, and
it opens like,
yeah, it opens
research and all that stuff. So, you know, you get into all this stuff like I had going back in the 1800s and 17. Natchez in the beginning was like 1810. So you come up in Natchez, the original Natchez Cemetery up on the Bluffer River.
Yeah,
so I have a lot of family members that were buried there because they were whole part of the original settlers. And so anyway, come to find out, you go to these cemeteries and the people that work there, especially the older people,
they're wealthy.
And come to find out, we got like 10 empty plots. And I don't know, those things, I never really did pursue it, but I would think... From what I've been told, they're probably worth $50,000 or something.
Yeah, sometimes they can be.
I can hear it 7. I'm not talking about my two.
He's on
fire 8 o'clock. So it's 6:30.
So a lot of people don't even know they own it. I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't gone to the cemetery and run into somebody. So y'all got an extra box over here. I mean, I don't know how many they bought, 25 or 30 of them.
That's a fine looking box. How many of them were?
200 years ago.
I feel sorry for him at Christmas.
I got 9.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Christmas, that's for sure.
I don't think they're...
I can imagine. Did you get your Christmas ornament in Foster?
It depends.
Yeah, the crap. I think that's going to cost us down the line. I think he's having a fundraiser early next year, so we're going to pay for the crap.
Well, he just sent me a card. He didn't pay for the
fundraiser. At least the card doesn't have a bull on it.
That's how we got to live.
Yeah, the prize bull.
The belly part of
the bull. The Merry Christmas.
Did you sell that?
The Valley Park is a fall right outside.
That's right. And that was where, you know. And that's what we talked about.
I can do no wrong.
Right.
Truck oil and gas all on his property. It's private.
But we do have a guy in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hunting in the woods that you all of a sudden you come up on a gray marker. Yeah.
That is simple.
That is. There's a lot of that in all over Mississippi and some of the, well, on the, more on the western side because that was settled earlier. Yeah. Helps to know history.
Does indeed.
Yeah. See, that's why I love your input.
And all these old wagon roads that are highways now, if you know what the original highway was and you're looking, you can see in the woods where the paved road followed the road, but then it avoided it, and you'll see the old, you know, rut. I mean, I had a piece of property in Mississippi. I had an old wagon road. And it was
and
like, you know,
Will
looking at the natural tracer, 15
really
feet below the grade of the hill.
Because we have time.
Yeah. So you have to watch for ghosts.
But it's all
a lot of ghosts.
More. All right, I'd like to call this meeting in order. Can I get a roll call?
All right, Mr. Segura?
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc? Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Secretary Harris?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Ms. Michu Dugas?
Here.
Mr. Height?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
All right. Okay, we have 9 members present and a quorum has been established.
Right. Would everyone stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? All right, item 4 is the approval of the November 8th, 2017 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those? Motion by Ms. Michu Dugas, a second by Mr. Watkins. Any comments, questions, public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. That motion carries. Item 5A is the staff reports, lease review report. Jason Talbot, Charles Bradley. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. I'm here to present the lease review report. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,229 active leases covering nearly 540,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 122 leases, covering approximately 75,000 acres for lease maintenance and development. And we have five leases discussed in more detail today, starting with State Lease 195, Quarantine Bay, operated by Cox Operating LLC. This lease was last reviewed in May 11, 2017, and the board accepted Cox's report, and we required Cox to evaluate a specific area within 6 months outlined by the G&E staff on the lease for a viable oil and gas prospect or release the acreage. My letter dated November 8, 2017, Cox did report the following. An oil and gas anomaly has been identified from seismic data over the specific area that we outlined in May of 2017. However, the specifics of that anomaly were not shared in their report. They're saying currently drilling this anomaly is uneconomical based on reserves in current commodity prices. Participation with another party on some new prospects that would affect the north and west portions of this lease is currently under consideration. For 2017, recompletions and workovers included a through-tubing recompletion performed on the State Lease 195 QQ number 43 well to the 11 sand in late 2016, with additional sand control work in 2017. A recompletion performed on the State Lease 195 QQ number 359 to the 7A-2 sand. Costs were approximately $1.5 million and resulted in 115 barrels per day addition to the lease. Plans for 2018 include a recompletion of the State Lease 195 QQ number 365 well to recover approximately 1 million barrels at an estimated cost of $1.5 million. The staff is recommending that Cox schedule a meeting with the staff on March 14, 2018 to discuss the specifics of their seismic anomaly over the southwestern portion of this lease, as well as their negotiation with another party on prospects that may affect the north and west portion of this lease. Moving on to...
You don't require any action. That's just your recommendation for the staff, right?
That is correct. For a meeting, for them to have a meeting.
Right.
Next group of leases in Eloy Bay and Half Moon Lake. This too field is operated by Cox Operating. Those leases include State Lease 2220, 2221, 4039, and 4147. These leases were last reviewed on November 9, 2016. The board accepted Cox's report and granted Cox until November 8, 2017. Provide an update on field development affecting these leases. By letter dated November 8th, Cox reported the following. Cox has been able to maintain an approximate 500 barrel per day production rate across the leases. Plans for a major workover on the State Lease 2221 number 13 dual D well before the year ends to recover an estimated 150,000 barrels with an estimated cost of $634,000. There was a lot of discussion in their letter about their ongoing issues with oyster leases. I didn't put that in the summary, but hopefully if we're going to have them come in, Cox, for March 14, 2018, we'd like them to come and also talk to us about these leases at Eloy Bay, Half Moon Lake. So our recommendation is that they schedule a meeting also for that same date with us in March, discuss their plans and perhaps their issues with the oyster fishermen.
Mr. Chairman, I think we do need to have a resolution adopting the staff's recommendations.
Okay. Make a motion to accept staff's recommendations. For the meetings in March, correct? That was a recommendation to have to meet back in March on both of them?
Yes, sir.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation as outlined on the agenda. Do I have a second?
Second
by Secretary Harris. Any questions or comments? Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you. The next report is the nomination in track presented by Emil Fano.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 7 tracks in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the December 14, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 34 nominations for advertisement. This is for informational purposes only. 5 nominations were received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the February 14, 2018 mineral lease sale. For the February 8, 2017 mineral lease sale, this office received 9 nominations for advertisement. Staff is requesting authority to advertise the nominations for the February 14, 2018 mineral lease sale.
All right. Do we have a motion?
Take a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Accept staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
There are no other items.
Great. Thank you, Emil. Our next report is the audit report by Ms. Rachel Newman.
Morning. As of November 31st, 2017, field audit collections totaled $567,871.59. This entire total is royalty exceptions, no interest and penalty. One audit was engaged in November, and the current number of open royalty audits is 72. Royalties collected in November totaled $14,634,878. Fiscal year to date, that number is $74,060,507. At the same time last year, that number was $89,953,048. During the month of November, we received 361 state royalty reports. This included 137 for oil, 169 for gas, and 55 for plant products. The only item on the agenda today is the staff report to the board that the election for December 17 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Planet LaRose and the Sea Robin Planet Henry for the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreement.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Do I have a motion? Oh, well, we don't have anything.
No.
So, great, thank you.
Thanks.
Legal and title controversy. Mr. Emil Fano.
Item number one is a request from Texas Petroleum Investment Company for a full waiver of liquidated damages in the amount of $21,300 for the late release of State Lease 17174 in West Lake Decade Field, Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana. State Lease number 17174 expired on October the 31st, 2016. The lessee could have recorded a release on or before January the 29th, 2017 without penalty. The said release was recorded on August the 31st, 2017, some 213 days late, causing a late assessment of $21,300. Based on State Mineral and Energy Board protocol from the board's resolution of May 13, 2009, the board has 3 sets of criteria to evaluate in assessing waivers for late release. Accordingly, a careful review by staff of this criteria has been considered as follows. The first, under A, first infraction, a complete waiver of the entire assessment. TPIC has had three previous infractions, therefore a complete waiver is not applicable here. The second set of criteria, B, subsequent infractions, the board can determine the percentage of total acreage that was released late multiplied by the liquidated damage amount, or the original lease bonus amount, whichever is less, to reduce the fee further. The board could reduce the assessment amount to 73.5%. That would be, if you look on your handout, the amount of acres that was released late was 445.14 acres over the entire acreage that was originally leased at 605.75 acres. That gives you a 73.5% percentage. Multiply that times the assessed value of $21,300, thus the justification for reducing it, consider reducing it to $15,655. The other part of the second criteria, the original lease bonus, the board could also consider reducing it to the lease bonus, but in this case, the bonus consideration was over $151,000, so that does not apply in this situation as well. The third set of criteria, the board may consider waiving the entirety or a portion of the liquidated damage assessment for cause, or if the circumstances of the late release demonstrate misconduct or bad faith, the board may determine that no reduction of the assessment is warranted. In making this determination, the board will consider, among other factors, the following: the number of prior appearances. In this case, three prior appearances. The first infraction of $31,600 and the second infraction of $37,700 were waived by the board in January of 2007. TPIC paid the assessment of $24,600 for the third infraction in April of 2014. The board may also consider the number of days in their consideration for waiver, and that was 213 days, as mentioned earlier. Another criteria would be the present leasing activity in the area for this period of time, and there was no significant leasing activity that took place during the 213 days. And finally, the severity of the condition of the request. TPIC notes that OMR did not alert them that the lease had expired and needed to be released. Staff recommends reducing the $21,300 liquidated damage assessment to $15,655. Now, there are representatives in the audience for TPIC that would like to address the board.
All right.
I picked them out.
Thanks for coming. Please state your name just for the record.
Good morning. I'm Chris Cordy. I'm the landman representing Texas Petroleum Investment Company. I've been with the company for 3.5 years.
I'm Kevin Kimberlin. I've been with the company for 2.5 years as a landman.
We thank you for hearing us today. We just wanted to say a few things about our company. TPIC is currently the second largest oil producer in the state of Louisiana, with oil production averaging 24,000 barrels of oil a day, with approximately 10,000 of that coming from state leases. We average daily gas production of 140,000 MCF a day, with the highest gas production from our Atchafalaya Bay field, which is comprised entirely of state leases. Our capital budget for the year of 2017 for Louisiana operations was $30 to $35 million, the majority of the money used for recompletions, reworks, and equipment repair. We did drill two successful wells this year, one well in Golden Meadow Field, another in South Pass Field, and both of those also containing state acreage. TPIC acquired a substantial amount of the Louisiana properties of Apache Corporation in October of 2014, and we subsequently saw the prices of oil drop from a little under 100 barrels to a little over 30 barrels within 6 months of the acquisition. But regardless of that, TPIC's financial status is solid, with many projects identified in Louisiana which will become economic as commodity prices increase and stabilize. Our last fine for failure to release the state lease timely was in April of 2014 in the amount of $24,600, which we did in fact pay. Since that time, though, we've released timely many state leases, most of the times with notice from the state. And in this instance, from State Lease 17174, we did not receive notice, and we failed to release the lease until we received a letter from the state on October 16th of 2017, which we promptly released and recorded on August 31st of 2017. We recognize, though, that this is an oversight on our part for not releasing the state lease promptly, but we do ask the state to grant TPIC relief from this fine. Whether we receive it today or not, though, we do pledge to do our best to release all state leases in the future in a timely manner. Thank you.
Was there a reason why there was this oversight?
It was
why you missed it.
Yeah, there was a miscommunication between the two different departments, the land department and the geology department, of whether we wanted to develop the lease or pay in lieu royalty or release it, and it kind of just slipped through the cracks, and we didn't receive an answer from the geology department, and we just kind of forgot about it.
Right.
But you said you didn't receive a notice.
No, we didn't. We do not believe that we received a notice, not until August of 2017, which was 7 or 8 months after it stopped producing for more than 90 days.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Hike.
Can you comment on that? Did you also send notice?
We are not required under the lease agreement to send notices to the lessees. But we do, once we go through our evaluations of blocks, we do send out letters to them.
Sir, can you tell me whether or not for the 213 days, whether or not there was production?
There was not.
Are you familiar with the previous waiving of approximately $80,000?
No, sir, I was not. I came right after the 2014 the last time that we failed to release the state.
So you can't address the circumstances of the waiver of those two instances?
No, sir.
Can you address whether or not the $24,600 that was paid in April 2014, whether or not that was a reduced penalty or not?
No, I do not believe it was a reduced amount, and I don't think we had a hearing about it. I think we just decided to just pay it.
That was a full payment. There was no reduction.
Ivano, can you tell me whether the reason for the evaluation of this particular matter is based upon the protocol of May 2009?
I'm sorry?
Based on the State Mineral and Energy Board protocol from the Board of Resolution May 13, 2009, and I thought that the protocol we're operating under is dated otherwise.
No, sir, that's the current one, and we've just...
The one in my packet is August 2015. Okay, well, can you address that?
We'll have to look at that.
Can you tell me whether or not anything in the protocol, in your mind at least, Mr. Fontenot, is a mandatory matter, or is it discretionary? Is it not?
It's all up to the board. We go by the protocol, but the board has the last say, and if they feel, even though everything is according to protocol, they can waive it or they can instill the...
Can you address the circumstances of the $80,000 waiver in 2007 and... I guess it was both of them were in 2007. Can neither one of you address that?
I can speculate, but that's not an answer. I think what the gentleman said here is it's an oversight on their part, and Companies have thousands and thousands of leases to review.
No, the reason why these infractions were waived. Do you have any information that you can share with us on that issue?
No, sir, not today. We can get it for
sir?
You. No, sir, not today.
Would you be amenable if, as staff, would you be amenable if I made a motion to continue our decision on this matter until our next meeting, until you can come forward with that information?
Sure, we'll be glad to.
In that regard, I'd like to make a motion.
All right.
My motion is that we table a decision on this particular waiver until such time as staff provides us the details of the waiving of the infraction that was in January of 2007.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second right. that. I'll second that, and I have another.
Then Mr. Hollins had seconds. Ben?
Yeah, and it relates to a question. Can I ask him some questions?
Yes.
Sure. This may be something you come back next month. But you guys had State Lease 19677 that was released, I think, sometimes in the last 18 months. And there's still a well on that lease that I don't believe has been P&A'd. Can you update me on that, on where you are?
On that particular well,
and you can have this if you want it later, but there's the...
Yeah, it's this well. I don't expect you to be able to answer that today. But.
All right. Any further discussion or question?
I have a question from staff.
Mr. Arnold.
Staff's recommendation is pretty much 100% of the penalty on the acres that was released, correct? If I'm reading that right, so you recommend a 71.4%?
73.5%.
Which is 100% penalty on the acres that was actually late released.
It was the percentage. There was 600 some odd acres that was originally awarded.
Right.
They released approximately 200 acres. The second set of criteria.
They released 200 acres previously.
Right.
On time without notification from the state.
Right, correct. So then at this point now, dealing with the 600 acres, or in this case, we have 400 left in the hopper. We simply didn't say 400 acres. We took 400 over the 600 and came up with the percentage and reduced the assessment to the 73.5%.
Thank you.
Do you know about that well, or can you give me any updates now, or do you need some time?
We probably need a little bit of time to look into that and get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
What is the significance of that?
Well, my question was, when I look at that is an old lease that they released, I believe, sometimes in the last 18 months, and there's a well that I don't believe has been P&A'd. My information may or may not be correct, so I wanted to ask them what the current status of the well is and what their plans were for it, because it's part of your lease. I believe you're supposed to P&A that well.
At the time, I'm aware of releases of all our state leases in that field, but I'm not aware of the well at the time, so we can look into that and get back to you.
Thank you.
I got another question, Mr. Chairman, if I can, and that is, I'm a little unclear as to whether or not in your developing of the or the suggested reduction, whether or not you were using the acreage release late or the total acreage in your computation.
I was using both to come up with a percentage. Uh-huh. I took the 440 acres. Again, if I may reiterate, it started off with awarding 600 acres. They released 200 acres timely. So we're dealing with 400 acres subsequent to the release of the 200 acres.
How is it that they would release 200 acres timely and just forget about the 400 acres?
Also released earlier.
It's just an, I think it was just an area that they agreed to release because they didn't have production on or just didn't have any interest in keeping.
Well, they didn't have production on the other acres either. He just answered that for me.
But they released the 200 before and while the 400 was still being produced. I mean, companies do that all the time, though, and we ask them to do that, you know, to release sections of leases while still maintaining other portions of it that are still productive and still interesting.
So are you saying, would you, so is it that some portion of the 445 acreage was in production?
It was probably being maintained. The 400 some odd acres was maintained to a certain point, yes.
Okay, so they're maintaining the 400, I don't know if they're maintaining the entire 400, and they're receiving... They're receiving production, receiving dollars as opposed to following the dictates of the lease. In other words, there was an income from those, at least a portion of the 400 acres, during a period of time in which they should have released that property, right?
No, there was no production during this period of time. I mean, they once the lease had terminated, it was terminated based on, I'm assuming, a lack of production. And once the lease terminated, I don't think there was any production after that. So,
what would be the cost of the P&A if, in fact, you would take on that responsibility? Have any idea?
For each well, probably somewhere from $75,000
to $150,000.
And are there any plans for that? Not that I know of, but I would have to talk to.
So basically we're talking about reducing a penalty.